pretty funny. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
I'm no Bianca Del Rio, but I'm up there.
Who's Bianca Del Rio?
Spoiler alert, she won RuPaul's Drag Race this year.
Well. Hey everybody, welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Untitled Mike and Laura Project. I am Mike.
I'm Laura.
And we're going to start the show off with a warning. Yes, a warning. This episode of the show, we're going to delve into some of the big blockbusters that have come out in the last few weeks. And we can't really talk about them too much without getting into spoiler territory. So, with that in mind, don't listen to this episode unless you've seen...
Just don't listen to it.
Don't listen to it. Just don't. Okay, we're done. No, don't listen to this episode unless you've seen Godzilla, Neighbors, or The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Or you don't give a crap about seeing any of those movies.
But you care enough to listen to us talk about them.
Give our opinions, yes. So there you go. There's your criteria. There's your alert for spoilers right off the bat. If you remember the video podcast, we shot spoilers out our eyes. And we're doing that again. You can't see it because it's an audio medium. But the word spoilers is shooting out of our eyes right now.
You're an odd duck.
I'm an odd duck, huh? All right. Part of me thought that we should hold off a couple days because we're going to go see X-Men 2. But then that was like,
talk about X-Men,
that's like
primarily
too much too. So, you know, we don't want to cram too much into an episode, and we didn't want to make you guys wait anymore because like it'd probably be, you know, a lot later, obviously, that an episode would come out because we haven't, you know, seen the movie yet. Anyway, what movie would you like to start with? You want to go in the order they came out or you want to go in the order?
That makes the most sense.
Okay. Let's start things off with The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
What was your initial impression of it?
Going in or after viewing?
What was your going in? What did you think?
Well, going in, like, I liked the first one okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, great.
Right.
The pacing was really off on it, I found.
Laura is also doing her nails. That's what that noise is.
I'm
it's not
up
me.
A polish bottle.
It's she's shaking up a bottle of nail polish. To once again, an audio medium. It sort of sounded like I was jerking off to what you were saying.
Okay, you're
or
weird.
You were jerking off to what you were saying.
Maybe I am. No. I wasn't super thrilled about seeing it. Like I wanted to see it, but like if it was like, oh, we don't have time to see this movie or whatever, wouldn't have been all that upset.
Spider-Man was in the middle of your mad dash for Tom Hiddleston, so we almost didn't see it.
Yeah, and I still sacrificed seeing Tom again to spend time with you, dear.
You were scary.
I was afraid.
Anyway.
If 1990s Shannon Elizabeth showed up, you'd be all over that.
Maybe, but not to that degree, I don't think.
You don't understand what it's like to be a fangirl.
Apparently not.
How could you? You're a boy. You don't get it.
That's true. I am a boy. I don't get fangirling.
It's awesome and horrible all at once. Did you know, recently I was reading something a little while ago that was like, it's kind of funny the things fangirls say, like people make fun of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of it reads almost like Shakespeare. Like the things like, no, when like in Shakespeare sonnets and like plays and stuff, it would be things like, you know, the parts of your body that ache and long to be near that person that you're infatuated with. That's what Shakespeare said all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what these girls are saying all the time. And they're actually like, it's not well written, but just the similes they're using and the metaphors are actually
very Shakespearean.
Very Shakespearean in tone. Facts.
Okay.
Anyway,
so Spider-Man
going in, I wasn't super thrilled, but upon leaving I liked it better than the first one. I think the cast is phenomenal. I quite enjoyed it. I've never been a huge like Spider-Man fan like you are.
I was a big fan of the original movies.
Well,
the first
even
two
comics.
Well, I read the comics.
Was a big fan of the original movie. Well, the first two.
Yeah,
the third one can eat a dick. I've only watched it once.
The third one is
bad.
It's not the best.
It's bad.
It's probably my least favorite of all of the Spider-Man movies.
It's everyone's least favorite. It's bad.
Anyway, so this one, I went into it. My first thought in seeing it was I was happy that they went back. Like, it's the... I felt when we saw the first Spider-Man that Andrew Garfield made a better Spider-Man.
He really does.
He's much better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire. In the sense of, like, he's also a better Peter Parker as well.
And, like, acting-wise, like, his personality that he portrays on screen and his physique.
Yeah, like, he looks like... Like, because we've talked about Batman before, and we felt that Christian Bale was, like, he's a good Batman, but he's not a very good Bruce Wayne, that kind of thing, you know? But Andrew Garfield...
Again, Michael Keaton is my Batman.
Michael Keaton is my Batman, which will come up later, actually. So, like, the fact that they made the outfit, you know, the outfit was even closer to the actual comic version than even the Sam Raimi Spider-Man one. Like, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man suit, I didn't think that they'd get closer to it than that. And then, like, all they really needed to do, which is what they did in this movie, was widen the eye. Like, they just blew that eye up to kind of what it looks like in the comics, and it was like, yeah, that's perfect. Like, it's probably the closest from the page to the screen of a character ever. Like... It doesn't matter how many times they do Batman. Batman is never quite the same as the comic. Like,
because they go for grittier than the comic, and he still has in the comic the usually the big bat on his chest and everything, which they often miss in the movie.
The only superhero ever that might look more like their comic book version is Christopher Reeve Superman.
What about Punisher? It's a pretty easy costume.
It is a pretty easy
costume. I was just thinking of easy costumes.
I know. that just totally threw me off. I like that they went in a different... Like, on one hand, they're kind of treading on old ground in the sense of it's like origin stuff in the last movie and then a little bit of it in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they've switched things up with the Gwen Stacy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, this is your last chance before major spoilers start. If you know anything about comic books, you knew what was going to happen to Gwen Stacy.
Like, filming, like the first day of filming, there was pictures released of her wearing the outfit of when Gwen Stacy dies in the comic.
Yeah.
Like, come on, if you didn't see it coming, you either really don't actually care about Spider-Man that much,
mm-hmm.
or you... No, that's about it. Yeah.
Well, no, you could only know... Your knowledge of Spider-Man could only be from the movies.
Because
Gwen Stacy certainly doesn't die in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
But...
Yes.
One would think, if you were that invested...
Mm-hmm.
There's this beautiful device called the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, I enjoy these characters. I want to see maybe where things might go in the future because there are 50 years of comic history that they can draw from. Maybe mm-hmm. if I, you know, look through Wikipedia, read an article, maybe I can... Oh, yeah, she dies.
Mm-hmm.
My nails look fabulous, though.
That's great.
They're glad they do.
That's nice. I like the way that her death was done. Like, it was done in the same vein of, you know, they make it obvious that it was him saving her. Like, she would have died anyway, but it was him saving her that killed her.
Was the killing blow.
Yeah. Like, if he just let her fall, she would have died. But because he tried to catch her, she died. Like,
well,
there was no way.
She died at the hand of his web rather than the floor.
Right.
So it was either, what's worse, action that leads to death or inaction that leads to death? Like, neither is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that they made that clear, but without being like, yeah, he killed her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a couple things in it that were like, I was happy with certain things they did and things I wasn't happy with. Like, one thing that I was happy with is in all throughout the the build up to the movie, it was like, oh yeah, there's three villains in this movie. And I'm like, no.
That's too many.
Have we not learned our lesson from Spider-Man 3 and Batman and Batman and Robin? Three villains is too many villains. It's no. But
unless
then,
you're doing a thing like Sinister Six, where they're actually all like the evil, the one evil is a syndicate. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, that makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, like in the first X-Men movie, there's more than three villains, but it's a team of villains, right?
So, like, yeah, exactly.
It's not like they took three solo. Well, they kind of did. I was going to say, it's not like they took three solo villains and stuck them on a team together. They did, but at the same time, that team existed, yes.
I think, who was the villains in Batman Returns? You had
it
Catwoman.
It was Poison. Oh, Batman Returns.
Catwoman, Penguin.
And technically Christopher Walken.
And Christopher Walken. That had three villains, but it worked.
It did.
Because the two of them were working together, and Catwoman was ambiguous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine.
She was also a romantic interest, so it kind of worked.
Yeah.
That movie's fucking awesome.
That is a great movie. I'm a fan.
I liked
of
it better than the first Batman.
But I liked how that, like, they basically relegated Rhino to a cameo.
Yeah, it worked really well.
Because, like, every time, there's certain villains that you just like, that guy's not a heavy hitter. They don't need to spend a lot of time, you know, exploring the pathos of Sandman. Oh no, they did that and it didn't work out very well. But they did it with Rhino, but they don't explore him. He shows up and he's Rhino. You don't need to know.
It makes for a great cold opening.
Yeah. And then it makes for that nice bit at the end.
It sandwiches it.
Yeah. The only problem I had with that scene was we definitely didn't need the shot of the little kid in the Spider-Man costume going out there.
Oh my god, I wanted to punch his mother. Watch your fucking kid.
Yeah, like that was. Every Spider-Man movie has that scene where like something really dumb happens. Like the first Spider-Man movie is that scene where the Green Goblin's trying to attack Spider-Man, and then like all the New Yorkers on the bridge start throwing shit at him, and they're like, "You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
This is New York."
Yeah, and then the second movie is the one where he gets unmasked on the train, and then they like carry him, and they're like, "We'll keep your secret, Spider-Man." Like that part's stupid. The third one is the one in the third one is escaping me, but the one in the last Spider-Man,
because you probably only watched it once.
The one in the last Spider-Man movie, though, is with the cranes, where they line all the cranes up so Spidey can get to the building quicker. Like they all of them have that dumb moment.
It's supposed to be like this heartening, like
the cities
we're coming together,
we're pulling together for Spidey.
Spider-Man, and it's like
it's so cheesy and stupid.
Yeah, it's so cheesy.
Yeah,
Spider-Man does that. He's got the cheese factor sometimes.
Yeah,
it's not even Spider-Man with the cheese factor. It's the people around Spider-Man. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's not like Spider-Man's like, hey, everybody, clap. You know,
yeah. I need your applause.
Everybody, show me your support,
or else I'm going home. I won't save your city.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people that really hate that movie. Like, a lot of people.
Which one?
That Spider-Man, yeah.
The
one that we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like,
I can kind of see my...
It's definitely a flawed movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you can look at it in a certain light, knowing that it's a flawed movie, there's stuff to enjoy.
Look, one of my favorite movies is stupid as hell and doesn't make any sense, and I love it.
What's that one?
Hot Rod.
Yeah, but that movie, you know, is going to be dumb as balls.
I love that fucking movie. Oh my god, I love it. I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm going to go watch Hot Rod.
No, stay. One other thing in that is kind of like, is it suffered a bit from Iron Man 2 syndrome, where they spend way too much time trying to set up the what's coming next rather than do their own thing.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Iron Man 2 was. Like, Iron Man 2 was just like, oh, shit, do you know about Avengers?
Avengers is coming.
Avengers is coming. Let's put references in there. Oh, Iron Man should fight a villain. This guy. Okay.
Is Mickey Rourke available?
Yeah, what? Here comes fucking... Like, that movie drove Jon Favreau out of doing Iron Man movies. Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to direct the next one because he doesn't want to deal with Marvel. And then Marvel's like, shit, Shane Black, do whatever you want. And Iron Man 3 was awesome. So, But anyway, so that was Spider-Man. We both were fans. You know, it wasn't the greatest movie of all time, but it was an enjoyable way to spend
some
time.
Out of the three movies we're discussing today, it was my least favorite.
Yeah, easily. Shall we move on to the release order? Second one would have been Neighbors, mm-hmm. would have been next. Now, I saw Neighbors opening weekend on Mother's Day.
With your mother.
With my
which
mother.
Is a terrible idea.
Well, it was.
Either that or Heaven is for Real.
I had that choice. It was Heaven is for Real or The Other Woman. The one with,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, you made a good choice.
Yeah.
As much as it's like, that was a bad choice.
It was a bad choice.
It was like the lesser of three evils.
It was.
Did your mother like it?
No, she did. She did like it.
Okay, see, that's good.
She did like it, but there was a lot of, like. All I could think of is I was like, is this worse or better than the time I watched American Pie with my parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tough call.
It's one of the, because there's always that one movie that you watch with your parents and you're like, shouldn't have watched this movie with my parents.
There's only one set of boobs in American Pie, too.
Yeah, but the entire movie is nothing but talk about having sex. And
I want to watch American Pie now. I haven't seen the movie in forever.
I have not seen it. Maybe it'll show up on one of those movie channels we get. It seems to show a lot of movies. But, like, there's a lot of... like I mentioned to you, at one point in the movie, it's a movie about a fraternity, and they have, like, ridiculous parties with, like, so much weed and mushrooms and
drinking.
I gotta
say, by the end of that movie, I was like, man, you know what I haven't done in forever? Smoked pot. We should get some pot.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, it's been forever. Being old sucks. And Seth Rogen has a great line in the movie where he like cans, like he's like given the, as a peace offering, he gives the frat his weed and he's like, dude, it's really hard for me to get weed. And I'm like, yes, being old is hard.
Well, this scene in this movie where there's ridiculous parties happening and my mom leans over to me and she's like, did you go to parties like this in college? No,
those
I definitely did not.
Generally,
I definitely
aren't.
Did not. The closest ever was I was really drunk at a party, and then I ended up at a different party, and they tried to give me cocaine. That's the craziest I've ever been at a party. I didn't do the cocaine.
Wuss.
What? Would you have done the cocaine?
It depends how well I knew the people.
I literally met them before they offered me the cocaine.
Yeah, just in case, because that cocaine might not be good.
It was, we met some girls on the street who were they were being razzled by some fucking...
Razzled
by some drunk dudes.
Razzle-dazzle.
Some drunk dudes, and we yelled at those drunk dudes because we're like, hey, you don't know those girls, leave them alone. And they were like, you guys are really nice. Come back to our place. And the like the four guys were like, shit, yeah. Fucking girls inviting us back to their place, and then they had a shit ton of cocaine. And it was like, oh, well, perhaps we should not hang
partake
around.
In the cocaine.
In the cocaine. And then we left. They did the cocaine.
Good for them.
The one girl did a line right in front of me, which she's talking to me mid-sentence. She was just like, yeah, so I don't know if I would... we'll ever do that again. Like, it was like, whoa. Hello.
Aggressive. It was very polite of them to offer you.
It was. I remember when they offered it to me, I was like, I have a plane to catch. I said I had a plane to catch in the morning. I couldn't do it. It was because it was like 3 in the morning and we were really drunk.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah, well, it got me out of doing cocaine. So I don't know. That's what happened. Anyway, yeah, no, that's the worst I've ever had at a party.
I just don't know if I could put something up my nose.
That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. And they weren't straw on it. They were just going for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that.
Off the mirror and shit. I'm like, man, this is like fucking Skunker Base.
They didn't even have $100 bills?
No. They were using credit cards to cut it up, you know, in the lines. Not even razor blades. Like, come on. Anyway. But yeah, no, Neighbors was really funny.
It was funny. I really... You know what I love about that movie? Rose Byrne looks like such a elegant and sophisticated and just, she has that air of just like, she looks like she's a very classy Australian woman that a lot of people probably think she's British because of her accent.
I thought she was British and then she came off in this movie as very Australian and before she mentioned
she
that she was from,
British a lot.
Yeah. Well, she was British in Get Him to the Greek, and I think that's one of the first things I saw her in.
Yeah, but, like, and I'm saying she has that appearance of being very classy and everything, and she's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because it's like there's supposed to be this, you know, semi-young, semi-old couple that's competing with the frat. And
they're essentially probably 5 years older than us at the absolute maximum, which is really scary.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of moments where it's like, this is us. I gotta sneeze. What are you doing? Anyway. Like, the moment when they're in bed and they're just like, when they say their goodnights and then there's like the farting and stuff. And
Why
like,
don't we have pizza in bed, though?
We could have pizza in bed.
No, my God.
No one's
going to
stop us. Who's going to stop us?
That's going to make such a mess, though. It's just,
we could have ranch dipping sauce.
I hate ranch.
I like ranch.
You're, ew. Ranch is disgusting.
Ranch is yummy.
Ranch
is awesome.
No, ranch is the worst.
No, it's great. Creamy garlic's good, but I like ranch, too.
No, ranch is, ugh. And, like, people in the States treat it like it's some sort of messiah. It's
what,
weird.
Ranch?
Ranch dressing.
Ranch is great.
It's
good.
So bland.
You're bland.
No, I'm not. If anyone out of this relationship
yes,
is bland.
As bland as me, yes. That's why I need the ranch dipping sauce.
Ranch is it's like the mayo of dipping sauces, unless it's mayo.
The mayo.
It's so freaking white and
so
bland. And there's just nothing to it. It's
right.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. So in the movie, Zac Efron, for the longest time, I've hated Zac Efron, and I think it's
really?
One of those things because it's just like, oh, Zac Efron from fucking that Camp Rock movie or High School Musical or whatever bullshit.
Wow,
that he was
that's
in.
Prejudice.
I know, but that's one of those irrational hatreds that you have, right? And then you turn
I
that
don't
shit
have
around.
Those.
Yeah, bullshit. And then you see something like do you remember when we went and saw 21 Jump Street? And
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to hate this movie because I don't like Jonah Hill because he plays the same character in every movie. Like, I used to like Jonah Hill a lot. And then it was just like, I was so sick of seeing just Jonah Hill be Jonah Hill in every movie. And then I'm like, I don't even like I don't even know. Like, Channing Tatum's not funny. He's not going to be good in this movie.
Yeah,
and then,
I don't
then
particularly
that movie,
care for Channing. I didn't particularly care for Channing. And I still, like, sure, he's got lots of muscles, but
yeah.
His face is all kind of, like, right in the middle of his face, which a little throws me off. Like, he's not unattractive,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not like all these other women who seem to be like, Channing Tatum, let me drop my pants.
Yeah, but he, like, seeing that movie was like, okay, there's no way, I can't be like, this movie is bad because it's so good.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. And this was like Zac Efron's 21 Jump Street. For me.
It was really funny.
It was a really funny movie, and Zac Efron is really good in the movie.
Yeah, like, you can, as much as it's, like, just a silly frat movie,
yeah.
There's also, like, the moments where it's, like, no, he's a real character. Like, his character is, like, has his moments of, like, realness to him, and you feel bad for the guy in,
yeah.
like, a lot of respects, because it's, like,
the scene when he hands him the walkie-talkie is just like, aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just that, but the whole, like, realizing that when college is over, he's got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, man, what were we watching where, oh, Bob's Burgers. There's an episode of Bob's Burgers where, this has a point,
okay.
where
I assume
Bob fills in for another
oh,
chef
with the frat, yeah.
at a frat, and the leader of the frat is played by the guy who does the voice for Master Shake, which was hilarious. And he goes, well, I graduate. I can't be on because this other guy gets the frat in trouble, and the frat's on probation, and he's like, I can't be on probation. I only graduate in a few weeks. I need to, you know, I just need to get through these few weeks. And Bob's like, oh, man. I'm sorry. He's like, there's no jobs out there. And the guy's just like, I know. So he's like, no, there's no jobs out there. It's like, yeah. When freaking cartoons are making fun of the fact that, like, not, I don't even know if it was making fun. It was just stating a fact that there's no jobs out there for graduates. Like, yay. But anyway, the same thing kind of went for this movie. The only guy who seemed to have come out well career-wise out of that frat was the one who was, like, top of his class.
David Franco.
Yeah, like, he went above and beyond, like, extra, and he got, like, summer. And even that, and, like, it's very obvious that Dave Franco's character seems to have, like, an affluent upbringing, so he can, like, afford to take the unpaid internship, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, there are no jobs out there.
I enjoyed this scene where he's talking to the AT&T guy, and he's just like, so who are you? Oh, we're AT&T. Okay.
Who are you?
Who are you? We're a giant telecommunications firm. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, we don't want you.
We don't want you.
But yeah, like,
and he straight up is like, you're too dumb.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well then. And then he leaves.
But that's it. It's not just, I'm sure even if Zac Efron's character was pulling threes instead of ones, he wouldn't have been good enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no,
you've
got to
be the absolute upper echelon. And the thing is, like, now getting a little serious, these kids who go into university, like, say you're in the top 10% of your high school. That's pretty good, going to university. But now you're in the same university as every other top 10% kid in every other high school.
Yeah.
Where does that put you? You're probably not going to be in the top 10% anymore.
Right.
And then where does that put you at? And then after college, when there's even more people, it's like, okay, you were the top 10% of your college. So were these other 1,000 people that now are smarter than you as well. So too fucking bad.
Man, that got really deep for like a frat comedy.
Yeah.
So
anyway, the rest of the movie is hilarious. Yeah. Oh my God. Like, I was
the
laughing
guy,
the whole time.
The guy who plays Garfield was hilarious.
Yeah.
Garfield was hilarious. Oh my God. I love when they meet the dean and he's like, just so you guys know, I had a huge pot brownie and it is kicking in like nobody's business.
And then he tells the dean.
Yeah, and she's like, I am the opposite of the person you should be telling.
Lisa
that.
Kudrow is always funny when she shows up and stuff. I think she's a delight.
She was the dean.
she's such a horrible dean.
She cared about what's
headlines.
I'm trying to think who else was. There was some good cameos in it too.
Oh my God, when the
Lonely Island
showed up,
and the guys,
like,
from Workaholics.
What? Yeah,
the guys from Workaholics
fun.
In it, and then the one guy from New Girl who's in that Let's Be Cops movie.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I don't know his name, but I know his face. He's in stuff. Anyway, yeah, he was a cameo in it too. Apparently, he showed up again later, and I didn't catch that. But he was one of the homeless people from the end of the party.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he was like wearing a fake beard. I don't know. I didn't recognize him, but the movie's pretty funny. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, like, you liked it enough to see it again. Like, you got invited to go see it. We didn't see it
because I saw it with my mom, and then
we got invited with friends to go see it, and I was gonna be like, oh, crap, Mike's already seen it. He's probably not going to see it again. You're like, yes, I will.
You were in the middle of typing in, like, oh, Mike already saw it. Thanks for the invite, though. And I'm like, what are you saying? I thought it was really good. Let's go see it.
Yeah,
and you
so
were like,
it worked
oh,
out great.
Okay, cool.
No, I'm glad you intercepted it because I really enjoyed that movie. Spoiler alert, out of the 3 movies we've seen so far this month, it was my favorite.
Of course.
Sorry.
That's fine. I understand. That other movie that we're going to talk about wasn't made for you. It's made for me. So I don't know. Anything else you want to say about Neighbors?
No, it was a really... If you enjoyed things like Pineapple Express...
I'd say it was like 21 Jump Street, too.
21 Jump Street. But not just those. But even if you, like, for throwback, if you enjoy movies like Porky's or Animal House... Or old school, like, frat comedies like those, you'll also really like it. Because it combines, it's really good. Again, it's almost like that, like, if you don't do it right, there's too much going on. Because you've got the mix of the stoner comedies that are like the Pineapple Express and your 21 Jump Street. And, like, not necessarily, but, like, that generation of comedians, like your Seth Rogen's, your Jonah Hill's, like those guys, mixing with a frat comedy, but they've put it together in such a way that both, I guess, genres get a really good amount of screen time that balances each other out really well. You get to see both sides of this ongoing war, like, really well. You get to know all the characters really well. But not so much. It's like, oh my god, backstory? Fuck off. Like, I wanted to see the movie, and the preview makes it look funny, but it... But then you were like, that's because everything else in the movie... Because the trailer didn't have a lot of stuff that made me laugh. And you're like, because that... The rest of the movie is so R-rated, they couldn't put it in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's very R-rated. There's a 3D printing of a penis.
There is. There's a lot of penises in that movie. Like,
I had a dream after we watched about penises.
About penises.
Just penis. Like, that's the thing. I'm pretty sure I just had a dream about looking at penises.
There's a lot of dildos. And, well, like, the bit with the dildos, I was like, okay, dildos, fine. And then fucking McLovin's dick shows up, and I'm like, oh, I'm sitting next to my mom. That's immediately what
I'm sure your brother was saying, because your brother was there, too. I'm sure probably. He was singing the same
when
thing.
When the movie got out, she went to the bathroom, and he and I were like, maybe not the best movie to have taken mom to. But
again,
she enjoyed it.
Heaven is
she,
for real.
She did enjoy it, so that was the important thing. What I was gonna say,
we should have gone to that just to make fun of it.
I hear it's awful.
Yeah.
So
how could it not be? It's so pandering.
Fucking Heaven is for real. There was another like really religious movie out at the same time too.
Noah?
No, not Noah. No, but I mean like another one that's like along the lines of Heaven is for real, where it's like modern day, but it's all.
Oh,
like,
was that the okay? Because we went and saw Spider-Man, and the two theaters beside it, it was like, Heaven is for Real was one on the banner, and the next one beside it was, or no, it wasn't even beside it. It was like somewhere, but it doesn't matter. And I was like, wait a minute. I go to the concession guy, and I was like, that movie there, and I point, and it's called God is Not Dead.
Yes, that's what it was.
Is that you guys, like, being goofy on Heaven is for Real? He's like, no, unfortunately, that's an actual other movie.
God is not dead, yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Heaven is for Real and God is Not Dead came out at the same time.
Stupid.
Yeah. Another thing that was about the movie that was just kind of like, for me, we're close in age to the couple, so it was kind of like, okay, I see a lot of where I'm going in this movie.
Especially since you look like Seth Rogen.
I know. It's funny because
it was weird seeing them like have the like the sex scenes because I was like, that's what you look like.
Okay. So everyone who wants to know what it looks like when I have sex, go watch Neighbors, apparently.
Yes.
Normally I don't like it was like a Jonah Hill thing that I was talking about earlier, where there was a time where I was like, ugh, Seth Rogen is the same in every movie, and I just didn't want to, you know. But Neighbors was the first time that I was actually watching it, and I'm looking at him, and he's sitting there, and he's talking, and it's close up of his face, and I'm like, I'd probably look really good in those glasses.
Yeah.
Because it was like, yeah, well, you know, I look like him. There's no way to deny it now. So I'd probably look good in those glasses. Probably not that shirt, but you know, stuff like that. So yeah, no, enjoyable. Your favorite, my second favorite of the group. So I guess finally to the most recently released one, that would be Godzilla.
It was okay.
I loved it.
I know you did.
It made me so happy.
Oh, I'm happy for
okay,
you.
Well, before I start gushing on it, what were your thoughts on the movie?
No, it was good. I could have used more monster stuff, I guess. Like, it was enjoyable. It was easy to follow. I don't know. It was okay. It kind of had a little bit of a Tom Cruise syndrome with Aaron
Taylor Johnson.
Yeah. He keeps almost dying and then not dying and then like running to meet his family, and I'm like, is this a Tom Cruise movie?
It's just like War of the Worlds. He was even wearing a leather jacket for half the movie.
Oh my god, yeah. So there was that. And the other thing is, like, by the end of it, I was like, no, this kid he's not bad. Like, I can kind of get behind this kid. He's all right. Except he still kind of reminds me of someone who I unaffectionately refer to as Rape Eyes. He's got, like, he just has that look.
Okay.
It's the eyes. He actually looks just like this other guy, too, which is kind of scary, but...
So in one movie you have a guy who looks like me, and in another movie you have a guy who looks like Rape Eyes.
So are you glad that maybe I like the movie that looks like you better?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so...
I'm just glad I don't look like Rape Eyes, that's all.
Yeah, well, if you did, we wouldn't be together, that's
that
for sure.
That is true.
So anyway, I liked it okay. I think the person in the movie who had the most sense was the bus driver.
Okay, from the bridge.
I was like, yeah, this guy's got his shit together. Good for him. He knows what to do.
He knows what's up.
This nameless character who's on the screen for about 30 seconds. He's like, yeah, you know what? Shit's going down. This guy has his head on straight. Good for the bus driver.
Hmm.
He was the first person in the movie. I was like, yeah, they really actually like made a very smart call in there.
Like, yeah, you said that too during the movie. You were like, that was smart. when he peeled out on the bridge so that he would not be at ground zero for the monster missile attack.
Yeah, and like not just that, but the monster was freaking there.
And
like,
cutting the bridge down.
Yeah, he's like, I have a bus full of kids, short bus or not. I have a bus full of children. I'm on said bus. Do I want to be killed by a monster on a bridge because the cop here is saying I can't go yet, even though I do have space to go if I want to take it? No, I'm going to run over the cop if I have to because I'm going to save all these children.
Right.
Yeah, good guy bus driver. I think he was the hero of the movie. He saved a bunch. Who else in the movie saved a bunch of children?
Probably the guy who turned the nuke off.
He didn't turn it off.
Yeah. He did.
Didn't it go off out in the harbor?
Well, it did go off in the harbor, but he got it.
He didn't turn
he
it.
Did, he got it away from people.
He got it away far enough from the people. That's great, but all that radiation is going to give everybody cancer anyway.
Yeah, probably. They did say it was a pretty powerful bomb, so.
It wasn't that far offshore.
I know, and it's
it probably still killed a fair bit of people.
It's like Dark Knight Rises. It was like that bomb still gave everybody cancer when that bomb went off.
Or at least, like, some sort of radiation poisoning.
Yeah. Everybody should have moved away from
San
Francisco.
At least the radiation poisoning probably is actually worse than the cancer. It pretty much is a done deal once you got that. Cancer you can sometimes fix.
It makes you think, like, why would anyone want to stay in San Francisco after what happened there? Like, not because it's like, oh, monsters came here, maybe they'll come back, but it was like, monsters destroyed the city. It's not going to be good to live in for a long time.
Hey! San Francisco was leveled in, like, 1906.
Uh-huh. And then they had over 100 years to build it back up again.
Yeah, well.
So, living in San Francisco for a little while wouldn't be too great.
I'm just saying. It's happened before. Mm-hmm. Many cities have been... Prague is, like, built on top of old Prague.
Right.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I like where we live. We're not really around anything that can be disastery.
True enough.
I mean, unless that iceberg thing, glacier in Antarctica that sheared off that was the size of, like, Texas or something, and into the ocean, because they're saying that once that melts and it is moving and it will melt, it has the potential of, like, raising the sea level, like, 8 meters.
Right. And we are kind of by the waterfront.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty far in from the...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying.
So anyway, as for my feelings on the film, I was so happy with it. I mean, it was a Godzilla movie. There was so many little Godzilla touches to it that was like, oh, it's a Godzilla movie. Like you said, though, it could have used more monster. I would have liked it to have been more Pacific Rim than Jaws, because that's the direction that the director went with it, was you get little flashes of the monster, and then you get the big monster scene near the end. Well, Pacific Rim, the entire movie is like, look at that fucking monster, it's right there. Here's the human shit over here, now let's go back to the fucking monsters and stuff.
the 1998 Godzilla very much like, here's the monster, here's the monster, here's mighty monster.
Yeah, but the problem with that one is it's...
I'm just saying maybe they specifically went that route to distance itself from the 1998 one.
Maybe. The director said that he was going for the Jaws kind of thing, where it's, they keep you in suspense, and most of the movie is you building up, like, because it's like that horror thing that we saw at TCAF.
Yeah.
Whatever you think happened is going to be more devastating or scary than if they show it to you, right? So for them to build up the suspense by holding Godzilla and the attacks back and only really showing you, oh, here's the aftermath, you know, it allows you to build it up in your head to be, like, really terrible. And then he fucking shows up and you're all, like, on the edge of your seat by the time he fucking gets there. And then you're, you know, good to go for the rest of the movie. Because that's what Jaws is. When that shark shows up at the end of that movie, it's just like fucking shark on time, you know?
Yeah, but the thing was with this movie, it's not a suspense movie.
Right.
It's an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's a different genre. It doesn't quite work the same for a different genre. Does that make sense?
I suppose.
Like, many people consider Jaws, even though it's a blockbuster, it's the first blockbuster, a horror film.
Jaws is like a slasher movie with a fish in it.
Yeah. Whereas Godzilla is very much an action film.
The original Godzilla, though, is of, like, a horror film. Though.
Yeah, but, like, this one wasn't paced like a horror film.
Yeah. Like, it was paced like an action film.
It was. Actual scenes that... No, there's one scene that's suspenseful, and that's on the bridge. Not right. With the kid, but, like, the train bridge.
Yes.
But even then... No, because I do that a lot in horror films, where I'm like, you friggin' idiot, what are you doing? Don't... Why would you go there, you stupid face.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of did that in this movie, and I was like, okay, that actually does happen. I was gonna say, well, in horror films, like, people aren't like, I'm looking at this movie as these guys are coming across the bridge, like, why are you doing, and I was like, wait a minute, that happens in every horror film.
Exactly.
Because you care about the characters, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't, two idiots are gonna go walk across a bridge, you know, you don't care, you'd be like, well, whatever, get eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it.
Yeah, but, like, the Godzilla beats that it hit, that for me, that were great, was, like, I liked how, despite the fact that they made it, like, okay, well, it's the American Godzilla, let's put it in America, they still set a chunk of the movie in Japan.
A pretty big chunk.
Yeah.
And a very important chunk.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of, like, the original Godzilla from 1954 is an allegory for the atomic bomb. And in this case, they tried to kind of make it an allegory for what's going on in Japan right now with, like, Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of commentary about, like Japanese critics are saying, like, it's nice to see that they did that, because that's a movie that's not going to get made here. Like right now, in the frame of mind that Japan is in, no one is going to make a movie about, like, an atomic disaster. So it was kind of like, this is the movie.
They do have a bit of a history of, like, ooh, we did that bad thing and this bad thing happened. We're not going to talk about it, and we're not going to teach it in schools, and just going to kind of, like, no, it's okay.
Let's just
under the rug.
Let's just forget about that.
We killed tons of people in China and Korea and comfort women. No, don't worry about
don't
it.
Don't even think about this shit.
Unit 731? No, don't even...
Think about samurais. Samurais are cool. Ninjas.
Yeah, ninjas.
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 Play video games. We make TVs now.
Yeah. PlayStation.
But, yes.
Nintendo.
But, you know, I enjoyed that there was a fairly large chunk of the movie set in Japan. The movie had the character that they should have focused on, and it was Ken Watanabe's character.
Yeah.
That movie should have just revolved around him, because he knew what was going on.
And that's the thing. Like, when I saw Ken Watanabe was in the movie, I was actually, like, more excited, because I think he is, one, a phenomenal actor that I think was not as well utilized as he could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, I think everything he does is, like, he just has this very refined, dignified quality about him that is just lovely to watch on the screen and everything he does. I just think he is fantastic. And he didn't get to do much.
Yeah.
I also really like Juliette Binoche, and she was in it for 5 minutes.
That's like Bryan Cranston as well. Bryan Cranston comes in, delivers super heavy, hard-hitting emotional weight at the beginning, and then he dies.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh, okay. Like, I would have watched a movie about fucking Bryan Cranston's character digging up monsters for, you know.
But then it became kind of Tom Cruise-y at the end.
It did. It kind of passes the main character baton from Bryan Cranston. Yeah. Because the movie doesn't focus on the kid during the original attack in, like, the 15 years ago time.
Yeah.
It focuses on Bryan Cranston. And then it focuses on Bryan Cranston in the modern day. And then he focuses on, like, he teams up with the son. And then Bryan Cranston dies, and it takes off from the sun.
I really think in this movie, what would have worked well, Ken Watanabe's character would have worked great as the Idris Elba character in Pacific Rim. Like, that, like, he's not the main character, but he helps, and, like, he like, very much, like, he's kind of in charge of the company that is in charge of trying to keep these monsters at bay. He knows about them. He's known about them for years. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, working behind the scenes to try and, like, keep people safe. And then Bryan Cranston could have stuck around as, like, the British dad.
Right.
And, no. Mm-hmm. It could have used more Ken Watanabe.
It could have. Maybe he'll be, because they announced they're doing a sequel, maybe he can be the main character of the sequel.
I hope so. I think he's a great actor.
Maybe he can be, like, the linking point between all the movies, besides Godzilla.
Now, because they're going to do a sequel, it's confirmed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do you hope is... Because, like, I personally think the... Because one of the things I really liked about this movie is that Godzilla was the hero.
Yes.
Like, Godzilla was not the bad guy of this movie. He was the hero. He
saves the day in the end.
Kinda. Like, he does help destroy the city.
His destruction of the city is a byproduct of him saving it from
the
other
two monsters. He's like the Avengers, because, like, they kind of destroyed New York.
They did.
In the effort of killing
of saving
Shari.
It, yeah.
So they don't spread beyond the epicenter.
It's not like Godzilla is running through town pushing buildings down. Like, the only buildings that he pushes down are because someone pushed him into them.
Yeah, like, Godzilla's actually a pretty cool dude in this movie.
Mm.
And I get
Brofist Godzilla.
You would be dead.
Yeah, he'd just push you into the ground into, like, a fine base.
You'd be so happy, though.
I would... Death by Brofist from Godzilla. I put that on my tombstone.
You could draw a t-shirt of a guy brofisting Godzilla, and the guy on the t-shirt would be like this big, and it'd be Godzilla leaning
down, brofisting him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because, again, spoilers, there's two monsters that are the bad guys in this, and it was the Motus.
Mutos.
And one of them very much looks like it has at one point discovers the male, because male and female, they're inbreeding, though. Ew. Male and female.
There's a lot of that in the animal kingdom, though, so don't, yeah.
There's a lot of that in Game of Thrones, and I still like Game of Thrones. Anyway, the male has wings, and when you see a really clear shot of the wings, they look very moth-like.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling that a lot of that monster was inspired by Mothra. Not it was Mothra, but inspired by Mothra. There's a difference.
I felt that it was a little more Rodan-y, but that's me.
Does he have moth wings?
No, but he has big wings, and they're more pointed like that. Like the Muto's wings were kind of pointed at the
end. Okay, well,
like
either
Rodan's
way.
Wings. Maybe also the head shape is very similar.
Okay, well, maybe they mashed some elements together.
Yeah.
Just for, anyway.
They are very insect-like monsters.
Yes. What would you like to see in the future?
If they do another Godzilla and they go to the well and pull out an old Toho monster versus them making up their own monster again, they have to do King Ghidorah.
Which one's King Ghidorah?
The three-headed dragon with the wings. do not know which one that is.
No, I do.
Yeah, no, that is basically like...
He's gold, right?
He's gold, yeah. He's basically been Godzilla's main adversary throughout all the movies. Like,
so wouldn't they save him till the third one?
I think that Mothra, like, as well known of a name as Mothra is, I don't think that Mothra is a monster that will fly as well in the U.S. as it did in... in the U.S. as it did in Japan.
And they already did a flying bug.
That is also true. They basically did a flying bug. Yeah, because they made more. There's more than one movie where it's Godzilla and Mothra fighting King Ghidorah. Like, they remade that movie like 3 times in Japan. So the fact that like those, that's like the core, those guys right there. So if you're not gonna do Mothra because you already did something similar, you have to go Ghidorah, and they don't have to call him King Ghidorah. They can just call him fucking Ghidorah. You know, like.
Make it an acronym for
yeah.
something.
Or, yeah, or
it's
like
a Japanese
or Japanese. Like they call him Gojira in the movie, and they call him Godzilla in the movie. There's no rhyme or reason for who calls him that. Like, it's not like there's. I mean, at least in the Matthew Broderick version, there was a reason for the name
Again,
difference.
I think the difference, it makes sense because we are like with such an international community and the world, but blah blah blah.
Yeah.
The names for animals in different countries are still different. They don't call a butterfly in Japan.
Right.
They call it the Japanese word for it. So there, and again, these there are people who've known about in this movie. There's people who've known about Godzilla since the 50s.
Since the 50s, yeah.
So you'd think the Japanese people who know about him might have a name for him. And it's I just think in Japan, baseball is baseball or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not the same word. But it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense when you think about the background and the linguistic part of the...
Right. Right. Yeah, no, I get that.
And I was going to say, like, there is part of this, like, this monster is huge. How have we not seen him before?
Yeah, in like, over 50 years.
But... We've mapped the surface of the moon better than we have our own
the bottom
oceans.
Of the ocean, which is where they say he was. They say he was hibernating in the
and
ocean.
And they're still discovering cave systems that are gargantuan.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, look, this is a giant cave we didn't know about. You could fly a jet engine into it, no problem, and have room to spare. Well.
That's basically part of the movie, is yeah. that's where they find the Mutos, is in a giant cave.
That they didn't know about.
That they didn't know about.
Yeah, and like that actually happens, like, with regular frequency. And there's mm-hmm. underwater caves that are like, oh, BT dubs, we're going to combine two things that are freaky. How about the bottom of the ocean and giant caves? Because that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it because there might be bat people.
Yeah, I'm still thinking Ghidorah. Ghidorah will be yeah. the next one. Like, I'm just out of like the other ones. There's so many that have weird backstories.
I did like that he had the
he had the fucking nuclear breath. Oh, I was so happy he had the nuclear
breath.
Your
reaction was like, oh,
I was so happy that he had the nuclear breath. The fact that he fucking like blew Muto's head off with the fucking nuclear breath was badass. It just like. That up until that, because he doesn't really use it until near the end of the movie, and
well,
up to that point, yeah, up until that point, it's basically like, yes, this is it. That's all it needs. They fucking knock down a pagoda in this movie, and that is a fucking staple of Japanese Godzilla movies. Is fucking pagodas
you can
get
tell
knocked
there is
down.
A lot of, and that's the thing. Like, as much as I'm like, could have used more monsters, could have had this, you know, it was very. There was a lot of science aspect to it. Blah
yeah.
blah. Blah. From the Godzilla movies I've seen,
mm-hmm.
from what I've seen, and especially like Ken Watanabe's character being like, let them fight, and like, Godzilla's here to save us.
Mm-hmm.
From the movies I've seen, and my knowledge is not nearly what yours is, I will freely admit that,
mm-hmm.
it did ring true with a lot of the Godzilla movies I have seen, where it's like, Godzilla's the savior? Oh, the bad military is trying to like take Godzilla down, but the smart scientist is like, no, Godzilla's here to save us. Mm. You know, he's gonna destroy shit in the process.
Yes, definitely.
But Godzilla, he's our champion,
including a pagoda. Yeah. He's got to take that pagoda down. And there's even the scene of the military ineffectually attacking Godzilla because they don't know who the real bad guy
is. The people behind the movie have done their research and paid a very nice homage to...
Gareth Edwards, the director, he also directed a movie called Monsters, which does not have a lot of monsters in it. I actually saw that movie at the Toronto Film Festival, and he was there, and he did a Q&A afterwards. And he cited one of his influences for wanting to do this movie was he loves Godzilla movies. So when he was announced to be the Godzilla director, I was like, oh, right, I'm going to give this guy another chance because he kind of pulled the wool over me on Monsters. Monsters is not a movie about monsters. It's a movie about people in a world with monsters, but it is not a movie about monsters. I watched the trailer for that movie again recently, and I was like, yeah, they still bill it as a monster movie, and it's not a monster movie. It's a romance movie that has monsters in it, is basically what it is. So, no, I was very happy. Like, the guy clearly has a love for, like, the giant monster genre, specifically Godzilla. So it was nice to see, like, he handled it with respect. Like, mm-hmm. He definitely had a respect for the subject matter, and he handled it with respect. Godzilla looked like Godzilla. Godzilla did Godzilla things, you know, like... There's stuff that if they do it in the sequel, like that's why I think King Ghidorah would be a good villain, is because they can do basically what they did with the Mudos, is, oh, it's like, oh, this is another animal that was in a cave or at the bottom of the ocean that we didn't know about. And
top
it's
of
come,
a mountain that we don't really
yeah
go
exactly
to
like it was the mountain, like fucking Mount Fuji is its wings closed up and it like fucking opens its wings and flies away and everyone's like fucking Mount Fuji was a dragon all along, shit like that, you know.
That would actually be really good. I don't know about Mount Fuji just because it's like
it's such
pretty
a,
much right
yeah,
like near
are,
a lot of populations
and people
just because like people would have figured it
yeah.
People would have figured it out, but like some mountain like a smaller mountain that nobody cares about in the Alps or something,
yeah, yeah.
Or like along the Nepal border where it's like everybody's going to Mount Everest, but like that other little mountain over there that's only like a dinky one comparatively. Oh no, it's actually a giant monster.
Yeah, like because really if you go back and you look at the classic Godzilla stuff, there's a lot of monsters that are fucking aliens. And like the only reason that they're on the planet is because aliens in flying saucers showed up and was like, Gigan, go get them, you know, like that kind of shit, you know. So it's kind of like, okay, if they're going for a more grounded approach, I don't see aliens showing up and dropping fucking Gigan on anybody,
yeah.
You know.
I like the setup that they did say that like these are creatures that are in hiding and surface only once in a blue moon, because it does open up the possibility for many more monsters to be.
At the beginning of the movie, there's like a montage of some World War II style, you know, experimental footage, but they also layer it in with like images of that's clearly people's drawings of like dragons from like Viking era
yeah.
And stuff like that. So I liked that they put that in it as well, where it's like, yeah, all those stories about sea monsters and shit, this is what that shit was, you know, instead of like, oh, we made an iguana really big with nuclear tests, you know.
Do you know in the Game of Thrones universe there were sea serpents and stuff, like sea dragons?
Yeah.
Not
and Krakens.
Right now because of, you know, the magic has left the world almost, but
right.
Like with the return of Dany's dragons, blah, 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 in future books... We might see sea serpents in the fourth book.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place on the Iron Islands that is made out of the rib cage of a sea serpent.
Mm.
Like, it's an actual, like, they hold the Kingsmoot there.
Like the fucking towns in Pacific Rim that are made of the skeletons of
yeah.
Dead animals? Or
yeah.
Dead Caillou? Kaiju?
Yeah.
You know what I would love to see, though, in a future Godzilla movie, which...
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Thinking about the Mudos.
Yes.
They're obviously exoskeleton animals.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. They don't have an inner skeleton. They're bug-like.
Mm-hmm.
So why were they around a giant skeleton?
Oh, they explained that. They said that it was they were parasites, and that they were like it was clearly another Godzilla-like animal,
but basically
that died with the parasites in it, and the
So what I'm saying here is obviously there's another skeleton
right.
for another giant animal
exactly.
Which means I doubt there's just in their universe, just, you know. So anyway.
Well, they put another giant monster, the teaser trailer, the original teaser trailer has a completely different monster in it.
Really?
Where it's like this monster, it's like, it looks like a turtle with like dead, like six arms on it or something like that. And that's in the original teaser trailer where it's mostly just shots of like destruction and then the roar and the smoke at the very end. But what I was going to say was something that I would love to see them do, which, based on the realism factor that will probably never happen, is Mechagodzilla. Mechagodzilla would be fucking awesome.
No, that could be the third movie, because it's like, yeah, Godzilla is saving us from other monsters, but at what cost?
Right.
What if we had our own Godzilla that would protect us? Like, we have to obviously kill Godzilla, because he keeps coming out and, like, destroying cities while he's trying to help us.
Hmm.
So why don't we kill him with our own version of Godzilla, and then if any of the other monsters show up, we've got our own Mechagodzilla that we could be like, oh, we're just gonna like move this fight out of a populated area.
And the guy who's like, we should kill Godzilla, can be like some fucking rogue military dude. Yeah, there we go. We got this going.
And they started building it during the time of the first movie, so they have all that time to actually build, because it's gonna take a while to build this thing.
Yes.
So by the time the third movie rolls around, you're good to go.
And you can have like one teaser shot of it in the second movie where they're like, is it going to be ready to go?
It could be,
and
like your
like,
shawarma scene
not.
Where it's like, it just cuts to like a military leader standing over like a railing in a construction-y type site, and he's standing there and he's got like that stern look. Someone's like, you know, some science guy in a white lab coat. He's like, sir, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, there was another attack, you know, and the army guy is like,
we weren't ready this time.
We weren't ready.
But
next time,
yeah,
we will be. And then it's just a wide shot of like welders, like that are these little big on the side, like welding plates onto this Mecha Godzilla. And they've only got like the framework and maybe like the plate on the side of the head finish. Have I just like.
Let's fucking make that movie. Let's go. Let's go right now. Let's go to Hollywood. Gareth Edwards got signed for a Star Wars movie. He's not making Godzilla next. He's going, let's go get him.
So I'm saying, like, that is a good idea, right?
There you go. See? We wrote this. Someone
I'm
get Hollywood.
Pretty good at this.
Let's get Hollywood on the phone.
See why I write books.
I guess this is a good point to wrap it up at the end of our Godzilla movie.
I should freaking write them. Be like, listen, we have an idea. Pay me for it.
You may have it. We've already given it to everybody on the internet for free. But
well, if they do it, we can source back to this podcast and be like, where's our money?
Mm-hmm. So on that note, we're going to end this episode. Please send your feedback in if you saw any of those movies. Tell us that you hated Spider-Man. Tell us that you loved Godzilla. Tell us that you
hated Godzilla.
Yes, tell us you hated Godzilla. A lot of people seem to like it, so everybody I've talked to about it that's not you has been like, fucking Godzilla, as their
it
pants fucking empty.
You know, my favorite movie ever.
I know, but their everyone else I talked to was like, and their fucking pants filled with jism.
Jism.
Again, on that note, I have been Mike.
And I...
Ah, what the fuck? That wasn't funny? What the fuck did you do that for?
Because it was funny.
No, it wasn't.
Then why are you smiling?
Thanks for shooting me with a Nerf gun. You're going to start something, and then you're not going to want to finish.
I've been Laura. Good night.
Fuck.
Well, kids, that's all you get. That's it. Read a book.
Tell me about the cat noise.
The cat noise?
Yeah.
The one that Kratos makes?
Yeah.
The...
I don't think that's what it sounds like.
But here it goes. Just ran by. Like a teeny ninja. Shit. Oh, I'm drunk, babe. The Untitled Mike and Laura Project is presented in association with ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Check out thisweekingeek.net for more geek content, and you can subscribe to all of our content through iTunes or any other podcatcher. If you want to tell us your thoughts on the Untitled Mike and Laura Project, you can give us a call at our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or send an email to feedback@thisweekingeek.net, which I highly recommend you do, as we love the feedback here at this show. And then, of course, you can contact us on the Twitters at reply Mike Laidman, at reply Laura underscore Raptor, and, of course, at reply This Week in Geek. Follow us while you're at it. We'll be best friends or something.
Did that sound a lot better in your head?
Yes, it did.
Until next week.
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.